in Antarctica for one of its natural history series, and they captured footage of a penguin called the Adélie penguin, and they captured footage of it doing some rather unusual behaviour. I'm going to show you a clip this morning of that film. So, Bob, if you could dim the lights for us. Just apologies, at the very end of the clip, there's a BBC advertising their iPlayer. There's a little bit at the end, but it's worthwhile putting up with a little advert for iPlayer to see this clip. So, can we roll the screen, please?
This recently discovered colony of penguins is unlike any other.
Even though we saw penguins flying with our own eyes, the clue to something not being quite right with that movie was the date it was shown. Because the BBC showed that particular movie clip on the 1st of April, 2008. And I got to admit, when I first saw it, I was taken in. I've got to be honest with you. Like, I saw with my own eyes, I thought, wow, I never knew penguins could fly. Because I'd seen it with my own eyes. They subsequently released the program, BBC, about how they made the film. They used real footage of the Adélie penguins filmed in Antarctica. Then they generated some computer-generated image of those penguins. They then found some birds that looked a little bit like the penguins but could fly and sort of merged them together on a computer. And, of course, Terry Jones was filmed in a studio with a bit of fake snow. They merged it all together and they managed to trick me. But part of the credibility of the film was it was actually produced by the BBC. And so when you see something produced by the BBC, surely you can trust the BBC. Of all the people you can trust, of all the British institutions we could lean on, rely on and trust, surely you can trust the BBC. And so that's why it kind of, I was taken in to start with. If you can't trust the BBC, who can you trust? This morning I want to talk about trust. Specifically, I'd like to talk about trusting God. We're not trusting in the BBC, but trusting in God. And we're going to start a series of talks this morning. And we're going to look at trusting God based on the faithfulness of God. Our goal these Sundays is to stir our faith to trust God in new ways and very practical ways. And it's particularly relevant in these troubled times over the past week or so. It's easy to get swept along with the fear that pervades the media reporting over the riots and the violence. I believe God wants us to trust in his goodness, to trust in his purposes, and to know in our hearts we can cling to him, we can rely on him, and to know his goodness, especially in these very turbulent times. Let's pray together and ask God to help us. Father, thank you that as we come to you, that Lord, we know as we read the Bible that you are a God who we can trust. And we're asking, would you please help us? Lord, we want to trust you in new ways. We want to trust you with a firmer faith. We want to trust you amidst all the unsettling news and events around us. Father, would fear not be in our hearts, but would a confidence in your goodness, would a confidence in your grace, Lord, fill us. This morning I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you teach us, would you reveal, would you speak to us, and would you help us to enter into more of what it means to know the God of faithfulness. Amen. There's a story of a man who was walking along the edge of the cliff. As he was walking along the edge of the cliff, he just slipped off the edge. Fortunately, there was a branch of a tree just there on the edge of the cliff. So he didn't, rather than slip down to the rocks below, he managed to grab onto this branch that was hanging over the edge of the cliff. And he was hanging there for dear life. He looked up and thought, how am I going to get up there? He looked down, couldn't work out how he was going to get down. He was stuck. He couldn't go up. He couldn't go down. He was hanging on the branch of this tree that was growing off the side of the cliff. What was he going to do? It was going through his mind. So he shouted to God. He cried out, God, help me. In a flash, a voice came back. I will help you, my child. Just let go of the tree. This didn't seem a very good option, so he held on even tighter. As he held on even tighter, the branches started to give way a little bit more. Again, he cried out, "God, help!" And again, the voice came back, "I will help you, my child. Just let go." Again, he thought, I don't kind of like this option. So he struggled a bit more, and the branch gave way even a little bit more this time. And finally, he cried out, "God, will you help me?" Voice came back a third time, "I will help you, my child. Just let go." Finally, in desperation, the man looked up to heaven and shouted, "Is there anybody else up there?" See, as he was hanging there on that tree dangling over the cliff, he didn't like the options that God was giving him. And he was wondering if there were any more. See, sometimes I know that we can be like that, in that we maybe not like the way that God's leading us, maybe not like the thing that God's saying to us, maybe not like the things that are happening around us in our life. We wonder, God, are there any more options? Is there anything else I can do instead? But the reality is, God is the only one who can be fully trusted. And we're starting this series this morning because we want to experience more of what it means to know God as the faithful one, the one who can be fully, fully trusted. The Apostle Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, declares this, God is faithful. The Apostle Paul tells us this is the God we worship. He is the one who is the faithful one. Paul wants us to know God is trustworthy. He's dependable. He's consistent. He's not flaky. He's always there for us. He's never going to let us down. And the word faithful in the Bible, this word faithful encompasses all those things. I want us this morning to realize afresh the truth that the God we worship is the faithful God. And I want us to personally experience more of his faithfulness, touching our lives, pervading our lives, influencing our lives, filling our lives. Because I believe it's not only important just to understand about God's faithfulness, but also to experience it, to know it, to have it touch our lives and fill us. Over the past few weeks in particular, I've been struck afresh by how God is always there. Through all the struggles, the difficulties, the ups and downs, God is there. And God is a faithful God. And I believe the faithfulness of God is the only foundation of all the foundations that a person could build their lives on, of all the possible foundations to build my life on. The faithfulness of God, I think, is key. I think it's a key foundation for our lives. Any other foundation is hollow and empty. And I believe God wants us as his people to grasp this truth and to live in the benefit of it, that the God who we've given our lives to is utterly trustworthy, that there's not a hint of flakiness. There's not a hint of him letting us down, because his very nature and core is one of total faithfulness. So our starting point this morning is God has revealed, as we look through scripture, we see God has revealed himself as the faithful God. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, there we're told that know therefore the Lord your God is God. The God we worship, the God we love, he alone is God. And he is the faithful God. It's what makes him. It's what is part of him. It's his character. It's his very nature. It's what marks God out as God. It's what characterizes. This is what he's saying here, is it's what characterizes God. If you want to know the character of God, obviously there's many facets to the character of God. But the one I want to emphasize and us to really focus on this morning is this one, is he is the faithful God. It marks him out. In the Old Testament, the character of God is contrast. We see false gods. We see other false gods. We see other gods that are false gods. And we see they're characterized as either capricious, nasty, perverse, destructive, vengeful, or impotent. We see the characteristics of false gods, other gods. But our God, the true God, he is characterized. Who is he? He is the faithful God. Who is this God we worship? He is the faithful God. Now in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, we see this. Deuteronomy 32, 4 tells us again this same thing, that the God we worship is a faithful God. And the Hebrew words that are written there is, it says, he is El, El Muna. El is the Hebrew word for God. E-L, El is, that's the Hebrew word for God. So God is God, literally God the faithful. In other words, it's who he is this faithful God. God will not let his people down. He's dependable, he's constant, he's utterly trustworthy. When I first became a Christian many years ago, I was about 19 years old, and I attended a Baptist church. And after one of the services, I was sat next to an older gentleman, and I just got in conversation with him. And I was a new Christian, I was excited, and I started talking to him about my faith and what I felt. And I said, I've been a Christian 6 months. And I was thinking, wow, 6 months. He turned around to me, he had a few more years than I did. And he said, I've been a Christian 50 years. And in his eyes were filled with the life of Jesus. And the tone of his voice was someone who had walked with Jesus for 50 years. And I can remember now, it was many years ago, but the impression of just think, wow, I was so impressed by someone who had walked the path with Jesus for 5 decades. This guy had seen God be a faithful God in his life for half a century. Amazing. What this guy must have been through and seen all throughout those years. Amazing. Now I've walked with God for just over 30 years. It's nearly my 32nd anniversary of being a Christian. And I want to say my testimony is God is faithful. That's my testimony this morning, that I haven't reached 50 years, but I've reached 32 years nearly of being a Christian. And my testimony is this, God is a faithful God. God is a heart of his way he acts and intervenes and leads and guides and provides. And I've seen with my eyes, walking with God this time, that God is utterly, utterly faithful. But I've got to be honest, in that during that time, there are times where I've not understood what God was doing. So in the midst of those 32 years, there's times I've thought, oh God, I don't understand the things that are happening in my life right now. I don't understand why I've prayed for these things and these things haven't happened. I don't understand why I really have prayed over many years sometimes for these things to change and they haven't changed. I don't understand, God, why I asked for this and you did this. And that's part of what it means to trust God. Part of what it means to trust God is that I trust his faithfulness. And I trust that he is the one who ultimately, who at the end of things, who with hindsight, is the one who works all things together in a way that pleases him. It's easy now. It wasn't easy at the time, but it's easy now looking back. I can see, oh God, I'm so glad that you didn't answer that prayer. Because if you'd have answered that prayer then later on this couldn't have happened. And so it's easy now. It's easy now with hindsight. It's always easy with hindsight, isn't it? As you look back, you can see God was in control. God was leading. God was protecting. God was working. God was doing something then. At the time, it could have been very hard to be able to see that. When I finished college, when I finished university, left year, I wasn't sure what to do. So I prayed, as every student who'd finished their studies would do, God, would you lead me? God, would you show me? I want to do what you want me to do. And so I prayed, and I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel God spoke to me. So I prayed again. I didn't feel God spoke to me, and I prayed again. And I got to the end of my course thinking, well, it would be awfully handy to know what to do next. And at the end of the course, my end of the course came, and I'd been praying, but I had no insight as to what to do. And so I just prayed and thought, I've got to do something. I need to earn some money to live. So I started thinking, well, what job could I do? And I applied for a job and started working. And the important thing I learned is that sometimes God leads us very clearly. Sometimes God speaks and God says, right, this is the way to path. This is the path to go. Go down this path. Other times, what happens is we pray and God just wants us to trust him. And God just wants us to slowly edge forward, looking for the open doors, looking for the opportunities, keep trusting him, keep praying, not unsure. Sometimes he doesn't speak clearly and saying, this is the path, walk in it. Sometimes God wants me just to walk step by step, trusting him, trusting in his faithfulness. I want to encourage you today, if you're not sure of the next step, if you're thinking, God, I've been praying about this issue for some time and I don't know what you're saying. God, I've been praying about this particular area of my life and I'm confused. I don't know. I believe God is asking us to pray and keep praying and simply to take the next step. Whatever it is, whatever door opens, whatever thing God puts before us, trusting that God will lead us. Trusting that God's got our best interests at heart. I feel this morning that some of us actually have just drawn back. That some of us have drawn back, that we've started to trust God, but felt, I'm not quite sure about whether this is the right thing. I'm not quite sure whether God's in this or God's saying this. And just drawn back a bit. I want to encourage us, what we look at this morning, that God's got a way through. God is a faithful God and God's going to bring you through. I want to encourage you today. I think God is going to bring you through whatever circumstances that we're in today, whatever challenges you face, whatever uncertainties, God is a faithful God. And as you pray and as you trust, God is going to bring you through. There's an image used in the Bible of God's faithfulness. It's a rock. Often in the Bible, it uses images to help us understand. And one of the images that the Bible uses is the picture of a rock. And it's used in the Old Testament a number of times. This sense of, just as a rock is kind of immovable, that's only a little stone. But imagine, a rock's there. It's kind of got a sense of permanence, a sense of stability, a sense of immovability. And In the Old Testament, we see God is revealed like a rock. It's a way of us understanding God's faithfulness. In Deuteronomy 32:4, it says, "He," this is God, "He is the rock." God is the one who's permanent. God is the one who doesn't change. God is the one who's reliable. God is the one. We won't stand on God and he crumble. We won't put our weight on God and find that he lets us down. Because God is the rock. He is the rock. And this is the writer's belief, that his understanding that God's works are perfect. What God does is perfect. And for us, as we've started to follow God and go down to follow Jesus and go down the path of walking with him, actually, I've got to acknowledge, God, you say your works are perfect. Thank you so much that your works are perfect. I want to walk that path. I want to know these works. Even if at the moment I don't understand, even if it doesn't look like they're perfect to me right now, God, you say your works are perfect. All God's ways are just, which means true. He is this. He is a faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. That's the revelation. That's how God has revealed himself to be this permanent, perfect one who will lead us and who will guide us. I want to encourage you today that God won't let you down. I must say that my testimony over these past years is God is 100% faithful and he has never let me down. Unfortunately, I have let God down. I'm not, my percentage isn't 100%. As I've walked these years, I've let God down. I fail God a number of times. It's not a kind of equal relationship between us and God, because I fail. I do things that I regret. I do things that are wrong. I deliberately do things I choose to be wrong, sadly, or I make mistakes. I sin and do things. But God, on God's side of the deal, God is 100% faithful. As I grew up as a teenager, I remember it's a long time ago now, but I can remember quite clearly an impression of me having a discussion with my parents, as teenagers do from time to time. And I remember, I didn't voice this, but I remember thinking, my parents don't know. They don't know. They don't. I know. I remember foolishly thinking I knew the right thing. I knew that what their opinions, what they were saying, was not true, but what I thought and what my perspective was true. And I remember thinking, goodness me, they just don't understand. They just don't know. They're not kind of understanding these things. Mark Twain once said this: when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learned in 7 years. See, as I've grown older, I got the same experience of realizing, actually, I knew so little. It embarrasses me, actually. I feel embarrassed to think that I that's how I felt. I'm embarrassed to put myself back then and think of the arrogance and the immaturity and pride of thinking, I know about life, I know about these things. When actually, I realize now, I'm 50 years old and I know a little bit more, but only a little bit more. And actually, I realize I know so little. I know so little. And seeing as a growing Christian, we can be a little bit similar in the way we think we know God should answer our prayers. See, in some way, just as a 17-year-old teenager can think they understand life, they know about things, they know the right thing, they know the right what they should be doing, that in some sense like that with God, I can come to God and I can say, God, this is what I want in my life. I want this, I want that. You need to do this and that and the other. I can think I know what the best things are in my life. I can come to God and be telling God, or at least have the attitude where I expect I know what God should do in this situation. God, you should do this and you should do that. And actually what happens is I realize that I don't know anything. That God is the God. He is the one whose works are perfect. He is the one whose ways are just. He is the one who is a faithful God. He has the perspective that I don't. And he has the perspective in your life that you don't. I wanted to say that actually, I'm very glad God didn't answer some of the prayers that I prayed in the way I wanted them to originally. Because they would have worked out for the best. I can see that now. I want to suggest to you this morning that a measure of our Christian maturity is how much we've learned to trust in the faithfulness of God. There are other measures of Christian maturity, but a measure of my Christian maturity is how much, to what extent have I learned to lean on God? To what extent have I learned to utterly trust God? I don't know what's happening right now in your life, but for many of us, maybe for most of us, there are challenges and at least one aspect of our life where things are hard. If you feel you're going through some difficult times this morning, there's some encouragement in Scripture from an Old Testament prophet. An Old Testament prophet called Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah had tough times. If I feel I'm going through tough times, I can look at Jeremiah and I can see the things he went through, and it can be helpful to see something of his experience. For Jeremiah, he was persecuted by his own family. So his own family didn't understand him. His own family weren't understanding. He was persecuted by his family. Secondly, the people from his hometown, the people he grew up with, they plotted against him. They rejected him. Then he was also rejected by other prophets. He was a prophet and other prophets rejected him. He knew what it was to be rejected by people. Then the chief priest had him whipped and put in stocks. Then he was nearly killed by an angry mob. He was accused of lying. He was arrested, he was flogged and accused of treason. He was taken as a hostage. He was placed in the prison in the palace. He was thrown down into a muddy well and left there to die. Jeremiah became so frustrated with his inability to do what God had given him to do, he became depressed. And in fact, he's known as the weeping prophet. The title of Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, because the poor guy, he had such a hard time. God led him through such a difficult path. And if you look at the lives of the prophets, you think, poor Jeremiah, God led him through. It was God who led him. But God led him through difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. God brought him through. But in the midst of these hardships, he was able to write this in the book of Lamentations. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, these are the words of Jeremiah. He says this, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." See, in the midst of all that catalogue of struggle and being accused and being rejected, all the things that happened, going through all that catalogue of things, through the depression and the tears, he could say this. He says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." There was a river of God's love, and God's love flowed through those hard times. There was a river of God's love, and it got him through those difficulties. There was a river of God's love that was steadfast. It kept on. I want to encourage you today, there's a river of love flowing for you to get you through, to bring you through whatever difficulties you face. Then he says this, he says, "His mercies," God's mercies, "never," what a verse, it's a fantastic verse this, "God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." And you can imagine these mercies as like tangible things from heaven, like tangible presence from heaven, like something like the people of God in the wilderness where this manna fell. Something came from heaven and they went and gathered it, and it only lasted one day. They then had to go out the next day and gather up what they needed for the next day. God only gave them enough for the day. And you see what he says here? They are new every morning. He's saying this mercy that is from God comes new every day. What he's saying is that his going through that catalogue I just read out of experiences, actually what he learned was that what Jesus said is that don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough troubles of its own. So don't worry about tomorrow, because today there's enough challenges, enough things on your plate today. Because Jeremiah learned that every morning there was new mercies coming down from heaven. There was a mercy from God coming down from heaven. There was the mercy of God to receive in his life to get him through the challenges, whether it was being arrested, whether it was being accused, whether it was being placed in these stocks, all the things that happened to him. That every day these mercies were coming down from heaven, giving him something spiritually on the inside that was enabling him to come through those things. He said they're new every morning. And then look how he finishes this amazing two verses here. He says, "Great is your faithfulness. God, you haven't let me down. I've been through these trials. I've been through this rejection. I've been through this depression. But God, you have not let me down. Great is your faithfulness." And in this verse is a key. There's a key to what to do in the midst of all these things, is to receive these mercies that are new. God, today. God, tomorrow morning. If you're dreading tomorrow morning and something that's coming up, God, would you give me your mercy for that situation? Would you give me your mercy for my relatives? Would you give me your mercy for my finances, my home, whatever it is? God, would you give me your mercy that would fill me, that would enable me to get through these things? The Hebrew root that's translated faithfulness or faithful in the Old Testament, the core meaning is to prop up. To prop something up or to support something. So if something's propped up, if this is about to fall over like that, and I prop it up and support it, that's the meaning, the core meaning of what it means to be faithful. So when it's applied to a person, the word faithful is applied to a person, it means someone who you can safely lean on. Someone who you can put your weight on, you can lean on knowing they're not going to crumble. They're not going to let you fall. I know these kind of games that they play at school, one of the kids stands still like this, and someone behind them, they call it trust. And the idea is the person here has to, without looking behind, close their eyes and just fall backwards, trusting that the person behind them is going to catch them. And you've really got to trust, you've really got to know your friends when you do that. But that's the meaning of this word faithful. Faithful is you can have kind of utter confidence that God is there to hold me. God is there to lean on, to catch. Now, one of the criticisms made about Christianity by people who aren't Christians, one of the criticisms that people say is Christianity is a crutch. Christianity is just something to kind of lean on. Well, yes, it is. Actually, yes, it is. Not in a pathetic sense or a weak sense, but actually, absolutely, our faith is a dependent faith. Absolutely, our faith is a reliant faith. We're intended to, God's made us to lean on him. The only way I'm psychologically, physically, spiritually supposed to work is leaning on God. I don't work if I don't lean on God. If I'm not leaning on God, then I'm trying my own effort and my own resources and what I've got, I'm going to fall over. I'm not going to manage it. I'm made to be dependent on God. This morning I want to ask you a question. Do you need to lean more on Jesus? Is there an aspect of your life where you're trying to manage on your own when actually God's made you to lean on him? Is there an area of your life where you're trying in your own strength and your own effort, your own resources, your own what you've got? Is there an area where actually God's looking for you just to lean on him? This morning we're going to look at a few verses in the Bible together which talk about God's faithfulness. And we've started in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 7 verse 9, this verse we started with, it says, "Know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God." So right at the beginning of Deuteronomy, we know he's the faithful God. In a few chapters later in Deuteronomy 32, we've got this verse about he is the rock. And again, it says that he is a faithful God. It's who he is. Now Isaiah the prophet saw a vision. Isaiah the prophet saw heaven open. And when Isaiah looked into heaven, he saw God and he got to know God. So in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 7, it says, "The Lord who is faithful." See, Isaiah had the amazing privilege of seeing heaven open. Isaiah had this amazing privilege of looking into heaven, seeing heaven, the vision of a prophet. And he saw the Lord who is the faithful one, who is faithful. In fact, one of the themes, if you go from the beginning of the New Testament right through the Old Testament, one of the themes that the Old Testament narrative has running through it is the faithfulness of God. Again and again and again, we see played out the fact that the people of God in the Old Testament were not faithful, but we see God being faithful. And it's almost like, again and again, we've got this contrast between human unfaithfulness and the divine God's faithfulness. And we see that pattern played out over scene and scene and scene again of the history. We see it kind of before us. So we get the message. God is faithful. Moving to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:9, he says, God is faithful. Moving on to a few of chapters later, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, again, God is faithful. Writing this time to the church in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he says, "The one who calls you, Jesus, God, the one who calls you to follow him, this is the one. He is faithful." He's this one you can lean on and depend on and trust in utterly. And then that's his first letter. He wanted to remind them then in the second letter. So in 2 Thessalonians, he wrote to them again, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. And he says, "But the Lord is faithful." See, Paul had come to find in his own life, through Paul's own struggles, through Paul's own challenges and difficulty, Paul had come to see that God was the faithful one. God is the one he could utterly rely on, utterly give his life to. The Apostle John concurs in 1 John 1 verse 9, where again we see this phrase again, God, he is faithful. What I want us to see this morning is God cannot act outside of his character. He's perfect and unchangeable, and God cannot cease to be what he is. He cannot be otherwise. Did you know this, that there are some things that are impossible for God? Say, hang on a minute, how can the all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful, how can there be anything which is impossible for God? In Hebrews 6:18, it says, it's impossible for God to lie. You see, because the reason why it's impossible is lying is against his nature. It's against the character of God. It's against the utter, perfect truthfulness of God. So God cannot lie. It is impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And that gives us real encouragement today and real hope. Because it means that if we discover something about the character of God, it's as we've looked through this morning, as we've looked through the scriptures that teach us about what God's like and his character, that we can have utter confidence that from beginning to the end, that all God's dealings with us are based on his character of faithfulness, of dependability, of trustworthiness, of someone we can utterly lean on and depend. So that means we stand today on the beginning of the rest of our lives. Today, we're at a point, and that point stands before us. None of us know how many days, months, years we've got ahead. But that future that lies ahead, I can trust that because I've given my life to God, because I've said at one point, for me, it was all those years ago, 32 years ago. God, I surrender my life to you. I give my life to you. I want to follow you. I want your ways. I don't want my ways. Because we've taken that step, because we've handed our life over to God, we've given our lives to someone who is utterly, utterly faithful. And so I can have confidence this morning that God, this future lies before me. We live in a world where there is so much uncertainty. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen around the world? What's going to happen financially? What's going to happen socially? There's so much fear around because of the uncertainty about one's future. And yet we've given our lives to a God who is faithful. And I want to encourage you today that the God who we've given our lives to, he is not going to let us down. Because he has plans, he has purposes, he's the sovereign God and things are in his hands. And okay, in the short term and tomorrow, things may not work out in a way I hope they had. And okay, next week, things may not be exactly as great as I wanted them to be. But actually, in the fullness of God's purposes, in the fullness of what God's doing, I can trust. I can say, God, I trust you. You're the faithful one. You hold my life in your hands. And so I trust that what you're doing today is I've given my life to you. Freshly, I give you my life today, and I want your purposes. I want your will. I want what you've got in my life, in my family, in those around me. God, I want it. I open my life to you. And what rises in my heart is a sense of confidence in God. What else can we have confidence in? I can't have confidence in my own ability because I don't know the future. I can't have confidence in people around me because people could let me down. But I can have confidence in the God of heaven. I want this morning to examine our hearts and see, God, could we trust you in a deeper way? Could we trust you more fully today? I don't know whether you've ever been out for a walk in the countryside, maybe even Hampstead Heath. Out walking Hampstead Heath, and you get a little bit tired, and so you think, oh, I'll find a walking stick. So you grab a stick that's on the floor, that's broken off a tree, you grab a stick, and you start to use it, and it helps. It means you can walk more easily, and you can lean on it a bit, and as you're leaning on it, going up the hill, up Kite Hill, to get to the top there, as you lean on it, You put your hand on it and suddenly you haven't noticed, but there's in fact a splinter in the wood and it pierces your hand. And so what you intended to find as a support, what you intended to find as something that can help, what you intended to put your weight on and it be something good, ow, it's not, it's done me harm, it's damaged me. I've now got to get this thing out of my hand, this splinter out of my hand. I don't know whether you've ever lent on someone, trusted someone, and they've let you down. Chances are we all have. Because people let us down. Because there's no one that's perfect. And over the years, people have let us down in different ways. I want to say this morning, don't transfer your experience of other people letting you down to God. Because it's like chalk and cheese, as they say, totally different. It says this in Numbers 23:19. It says, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man or a woman. Put that in myself. God is not a person. God's not human. He's not a person that he should lie. People lie. They say things that are not true. They exaggerate. They say something that doesn't come to pass, whatever. Nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Someone says, I'll help you, and then they withdraw their offer. They don't help you, whatever. Someone says, I'll be there. I'll do something for you, and they don't. God is not a man that he should lie or change his mind. Does God speak and then not act? Of course not, is the reply. Does God promise and not fulfill? Of course not, is the reply. Sometimes we can transfer the fact we've been let down with people to our relationship with God and allow a barrier to become between me and God where I don't fully trust him. Where I'm kind of thinking, God, I'm not sure you've actually got this one sorted out. I'm not sure this is the very best thing. And I kind of hold him back all the time from God. God wants my heart to be one of utter trust. He's not like a person. He's someone I can utterly, utterly trust. And the reason why we know God won't let us down is God is faithful to himself. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 2:13. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, and we do, sometimes we are, sometimes we haven't got faith, sometimes we let people down, sometimes things go wrong, he, God, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Can also be put like, he cannot be untrue to himself. He cannot prove false to himself. See, God is utter, it's just who he is. God is an utterly faithful, faithful God. He cannot do otherwise. Do you ever been to the seaside and bought a stick of rock? If you buy a stick of rock at the seaside and it's got the words of wherever you're visiting on the seaside are in the middle of the rock, and if you break it off to give bit to your friend, the word black is Blackpool. I'm a bit partial to Blackpool because that's where I grew up near there. So the Blackpool Rock is written all the way. If you chop Blackpool Rock into bits, you just get Blackpool Rock all the way through. It's kind of there, runs all the way through it. God, all the way through, God is faithful. There is faithfulness from beginning to end in God. It's his character. He cannot act in any other way. He cannot let you down. To finish this morning, I just want to say that our trusting in God is a choice. Our trusting in God is a journey. And so you've chosen so far to trust in God to a certain extent. And this morning I want to encourage us, would we take another step in our journey, another step in this path of saying, God, I want to trust in you more. I want to trust in your faithfulness and goodness. I want to lean on you more. I want to know what it is to have a God who's so faithful in my life more and more and more in all areas of my life. And there may be some areas of my life that I find it easier to trust God in and other areas where I don't find it easier. This morning, we're just going to be quiet in a moment. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit will come and show us Maybe there's an area of our lives that God freshly today wants us to trust him. Whatever it is, could be finance, could be housing, could be family, whatever, that God's goodness would fill that life, that new this morning are his mercies, that God's mercies are new today for me in that particular area of my life. Let's close our eyes together and let's ask the God to help us. Father, thank you. Lord, as we've seen this morning, that you, through and through your character, you are a faithful God. And I'm asking that you'd help us to lean on you. Help us to trust you. Help us to experience your faithfulness in our lives in a deeper way, in a new way, in a more tangible way. Lord, forgive us for worrying. Forgive us for fretting. Forgive us for striving. Forgive us for like that man hanging over the edge of the cliff, looking if there's another way apart from your way. God, would you help us today to be those who would trust you afresh. And Jesus, as we're before you today, we're asking, would your mercies that are new for today fill our hearts? Would your mercies that are new for us today come down from heaven and fill us? God, you know every single heart here. And we open our hearts before you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, would you come, work amongst us? Show us if there's an area of my life where I'm not trusting you and you want me today to trust you afresh. We're just going to be quiet for a moment and just ask that you just wait on the Lord, open your heart to him, and just see if the Holy Spirit pops into your mind a person, a situation, some aspect of our lives, just where you can choose today to trust God. I feel God saying to some of us this morning, you've tried to fix it yourself. You've tried to sort this situation out yourself. And God's asking us to bring it to him. If there's a situation this morning you feel powerless about, wonder if you just lift your eyes to heaven and look for that mercy to come. Look for God to give you the reassurance, God to deposit in your heart the mercy, his mercy from heaven to help you.